Let's read together Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Now, in this first section of Romans chapter 2, we see that people who consider themselves good and upright and moral, even they are guilty before God. Romans chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Well, let's begin with some background notes now for this first section of Romans chapter 2. The epistle to the Romans contains a wonderful, systematic presentation of the gospel of God, the good news that a holy and righteous God can save unholy and unrighteous people. That's us. That includes you and that includes me. Now, the first step in this systematic presentation in the Epistle to Romans, systematic presentation of the gospel of God, the first step is to show that all the world is guilty before God. Regardless of religious background, regardless of cultural background, regardless of education or training, regardless of good works, regardless of anything, everyone is guilty before a holy and righteous God. Apart from salvation in Christ, everyone is guilty and therefore under the judgment of God. But what about the person who does not have a Bible and has never heard about Christ? What about the pagan and the heathen who haven't had a chance? What about them? Romans chapter 1 answers that question. What's the answer? The answer is this: God does not condemn people for ignorance, but no person is ignorant. That's the answer. God does not condemn people for ignorance, but no person is ignorant. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, we read there that no one has an excuse. Why? Because God has revealed himself and his truth in creation with enough evidence for everyone to respond to the true God. But the majority of people have rejected the evidence that God has given. Not everyone, but most people. Just as most people today in America who have heard the gospel reject this simple message, they reject the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, so most people down through human history have rejected the light that God has given them. And Romans 1:18 says that people not only reject the truth, they suppress it in unrighteousness. They hold it down. For example, many people today would rather believe that the universe is eternal or created itself out of nothing. They rather believe that than accept the obvious evidence that there must be a creator. You see, they're holding down the truth. They not only reject the truth of God, they hold down the evidence. They suppress it in unrighteousness, Romans 1:18. But now what about the person who says, hey, I do believe in God. I'm not a pagan. Furthermore, I do the best I can. I live by my conscience. I'm an upright citizen, and I help my fellow man. I'm civilized and refined and moral. Certainly I'm not guilty before God, am I? Well, the first part of Romans chapter 2 is all about these people. Upright and moral people are also guilty before God. That brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first section of Romans 2. And we have three of them. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, moral people are guilty before God because they don't aspire to their own standards. Moral people are guilty before God because they don't aspire to their own standards. You know what aspire means, right? Aspire, not expire, right? Aspire means to attain to or live up to. Moral people are guilty before God because they don't attain to or live up to their own standards. Verses 1 through 3, once again. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things, that doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? You see the point here? The point here is that moral people may have higher standards than other people. Oh, they're not like the barbarians or the pagans, something like that. They may have higher moral standards than other people, but they condemn themselves every time they judge someone else by those standards if they don't perfectly keep those standards themselves. Illustration. You know, when I was working as a professional engineer, I remember coming into work late a number of times. Now, I would justify this action by telling myself that, hey, I'm a professional engineer. I'm not required to punch the clock like others. And after all, sometimes I work late. I work after hours. Well, I remember one morning at work looking out the window and seeing one of my colleagues, another engineer, coming into work late. I'll never forget the feeling I had toward him at that time. That scoundrel! He's cheating the company by coming in late. What had I just done? According to Romans chapter 2, I had just condemned myself. I had failed my own standards. It happens all the time, folks, with so-called upright and moral people. And not just in matters of cheating the employer out of some time. And I'm sure you could share with me many other examples that you're aware of. Moral people are guilty before God because they don't aspire to their own standards. Doctrinal point number two. Moral people are guilty before God because they don't acknowledge the grace of God. Moral people are guilty before God because they don't acknowledge the grace of God. Verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Moral people don't acknowledge the grace of God because they think they are good enough on their own, and they don't need the grace of God. You know, I talked with a man just a few weeks ago who said he believed that Hitler would be in hell and a few other evil people, but not most people, including himself, because he considered himself upright and moral and a pretty good guy. This man will not acknowledge the need for the grace of God. He thinks that because everything's going reasonably well in his life and he's in good health, that God is approving of him. Verse 4 says that the reason things are going reasonably well for him is because God is forbearing and long-suffering, giving him time to repent. But right now, he is despising, looking down on the grace of God. Verse 4 once again, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Moral people are guilty before God because they don't acknowledge the grace of God. And doctrinal point number 3, moral people are guilty before God because they don't admit they are wrong. Moral people are guilty before God because they don't admit they are wrong. Verse 5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Many moralists refuse to admit that they are wrong, even when they are confronted with their shortcomings and inconsistencies. Rather than admit they are wrong, they compare themselves with people whom they consider inferior, or they change the standards relative to their situation. Whatever it takes to refuse to admit they are wrong. I think we see examples of that all around us today, even in high public office. People claim to be upright and moral, even go to church and carry a Bible, but they operate on a totally different set of moral standards than the Bible teaches. Illustration. You know, just this past week, our daughter-in-law was telling us of a situation at work where a top executive had fired some people for unethical behavior. But now it comes out that he himself has been guilty of unethical behavior. But of course, he won't admit he's wrong. And I'm sure you could come up with many other examples. This is just one. You see, the bottom line here is that people who consider themselves to be upright and moral will not admit they are wrong. They harden their hearts and stay on their moral pedestal, and they will not repent. They are like the Pharisees of our Lord's day. Moral people are guilty before God because they don't admit they are wrong. What about practical application from this first section of Romans chapter 2? Would you live below a dam that was about to break? Would you live below a dam that was about to break? You say that would be crazy. Yes, that would be crazy. Suppose your home was located in a beautiful valley, but there was a huge dam up at the head of the valley. And because of recent rains, the waters behind the dam are rising. And the structural engineers and authorities say the dam is unstable and could give way at any time. What would you do? Well, I hope you'd do the same thing that I would do. We would get out of there before it was too late. Now, if you consider the rising waters in this illustration as the wrath of God, you have a good spiritual picture of what verse 5 is telling us. Verse 5, once again, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up, you see, building up, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. It's only a matter of time before the dam gives way and the flood of God's wrath sweeps away all those who have not repented of their sins, including the proud and hypocritical and unrepentant self-righteous moralists. Now, I trust everyone here this morning has escaped God's wrath upon sin by coming to Him in repentance and receiving salvation in Christ. I trust that is true of everyone here this morning. So maybe this question doesn't apply to us. But maybe you can share this question with your non-Christian friends. Turn them to Romans chapter 2, verse 5, and ask them, would you live below a dam that was about to break?